And hello, New Hampshire listeners, here to WBNH 105.1. Welcome to Business IQ Show. This is Don Byrne, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my colleague and friend and co-host, Andrea O'Brien from the Small Business Development Center. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Don. How are you today?
We're doing very, very well. And for those of you who may be heading to the transfer station, I guess we've received some correspondence from some of our listeners telling us how much they enjoy listening to the show as they hit the transfer station on Saturday morning. So we're very pleased to have you listening then, as well as on Sunday evenings. And would remind you that if you don't have an opportunity to listen to this full show, or you want to catch up on some of the other shows which we've had, you can find them all on the podbean.com website, or you can just enter into the search engines WBNH 105.1 podcasts, and it will take you to it. In fact, if you then add Business IQ Radio, it'll take you to our list of shows that we've done in the past. So, Andrea, I know we have an exciting guest for today. Can you tell us a little bit who the guest is? And in fact, I think, as you suggested, we won't spend a lot of time doing preliminaries, that we really want to jump into having a conversation with her. So do you want to maybe tell us a little bit who the guest is, and if there's anything that you think is noteworthy that we should be talking about upcoming events? I'll turn it over to you now.
Sure. Well, I'm really excited to have Liz Gray on the show today. Liz, and a little bit about Liz's background, she is a UNH graduate, although she's originally from New York State, and she studied environmental conservation and international affairs and has a master's in public administration. And she is really drawn to the policy end of things, and therefore her work as a young graduate was in John Lynch's administration. She served as his policy advisor for workforce and economic development, but she also has worked for, at the time, Governor Shaheen, and has also assisted in the New Hampshire State Senate and within the New Hampshire Division of Economic Development. And she's our guest today because she is responsible for and leads the initiative. She's actually the director of entrepreneurship and leads the Live Free and Start initiative. And the reason why I'm so excited about that is because it is a tremendous resource that we introduce our clients to on a regular basis. If you're somebody that is looking to develop, you know, has an entrepreneurish background and has technology or innovation that they want to bring to the marketplace, and you're looking to establish a business around that, Live Free and Start is a program that you can access through their website, livefreeandstart.com. And it really guides a person through starting, maybe where to find capital or investors, and it connects you to a whole network, that entrepreneurial network that New Hampshire is really strong in.
And I'm interested in asking her a little bit about the developing angel network and capital structure here. And in fact, I think you were telling me that there's actually an event coming up on the 29th that you wanted to mention, dealing with women.
Yes, there is a breakfast for women who are considering being angel investors. And I recommend that if, you know, you're interested, you contact our guest today.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that we ask her the best way to go about doing that. So this is exciting. And as you said, she is really, in many ways, a person who can guide you through. And I'm sure that some of the people that, some of the resources she points to are some of the good resources that you have at the SBDC.
Yeah, we are part of the network, yeah. And it's you know, we feel very fortunate to be able to know Liz and tap into her expertise.
Well, I'm real curious to see a little bit about, you know, what their focus is. And I have to tell you that they put out a lot of material. They have these blogs and vlogs, and I'm just curious to see how they get a lot of work done, as much done as they do, and learn a little bit about that entire process. So maybe on that note, rather than drag this on, why don't we just bring Liz in, and I'll turn it over to you to introduce her.
Well, I'd like to welcome our guest, Liz Gray, the Director of Entrepreneurship, and she leads the Live Free and Start initiative, and the show today is going to focus a lot on that and another initiative that we'll be interested to hear about. But before we dive into the topic, we'd like to find out a little bit about who the guest is so our audience knows more about who's speaking. So, Liz, let's start with how'd you get to New Hampshire?
Sure. Thanks very much for having me today. I guess it all started in college. I came to UNH and spent 4 amazing years out at UNH Durham and studied international affairs and environmental conservation. And I guess the way that I was really hooked into staying here in New Hampshire was my senior year. I ended up spending my spring semester doing an internship with then Governor Shaheen and had just an amazing opportunity to see the policy side of things and interact up at the State House, and just fell in love with that. And the team in the Shaheen office, they asked me to come back later on that summer to work on that campaign. And then a little bit later on, and they offered me my first job here at the State House in the governor's office. And I guess the rest is sort of history. And just got lucky with some amazing, amazing opportunities to work with, again, Governor Shaheen's office, in the state Senate as a legislative aide for Governor Lynch, and over at the Division of Economic Development. So it's been a lot of great opportunities before I came over to the Business Finance Authority.
It sounds like you know the infrastructure in Concord pretty well.
I think I might have a good idea of a few different things. Yeah.
Does that come in handy in your position as leading entrepreneurs in the state?
It really does. You know, there are so many amazing resources out there for entrepreneurs, and to be able to connect the dots and help them understand who's out there, what's out there, where they can connect with them, how they can connect with them, and to, you know, like with you, working with a Small Business Development Center, just being able to say there are so many great on-the-ground resources and advisors and people that will walk you through so many different aspects of planning out a business. And there are so many resources that are free. That people just aren't aware of that. And it really is a matter of connecting the dots and helping them to see what's available to them. So I love being able to do that.
Well, did you take a class in entrepreneurship at UNH?
You know, I didn't.
It's a very good program.
I know. I've heard so many great things, and to see the program at UNH growing and so many, on so many other campuses, you know, whether it's Dartmouth or Plymouth State or UNH in Manchester and in Durham, there is so much more of a focus on entrepreneurship and being able to take it into an interdisciplinary approach, and making sure that the different departments are really understanding how, you know, different roles can really contribute to starting businesses and being entrepreneurs. So it's exciting.
Yeah, we've had Kelly Kilchrist, the chair of the business department, on as a guest. And first of all, he's a wonderful scholar. Interesting material that he's traced back about early businesses and how they developed in and around this area and in Manchester. And he has a passion, and you can see it reflecting in the quality of the students and the quality of the classes that come out. So it's quite good. Somebody once told me the word entrepreneur is really a French word, meaning the money's all gone. I don't know if that's true or not. But we're really happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
And entrepreneurship is something that is really permeated the business environment all the way around. When I first got to SBDC, obviously business owners are entrepreneurs, but it's the culture of entrepreneurship seems to have changed. And maybe that's because I've been at SBDC a long time, and 20 years, but it's morphed. And the millennials are coming up through into their own and talking about entrepreneurship. And so the resources, as a matter of fact, when I started at SBDC, I mean, there was email, but it wasn't, you know, the access to information and how we communicate. All of that has changed, and so
online courses people can take.
Oh, incredible. And online resources, which is one of the reasons why we have you here today, Liz, is to talk about that online resource that maybe our listening audience isn't familiar with.
Well, Liz, can I also jump in and ask you a question? New Hampshire, I don't think we're ever going to be noted as a state that has a lot of very big businesses. But from speaking to people at the various business incubators, it seems as if there's been a real growth of smaller businesses that really are filling in even almost cottage of industries. We're speaking to the people at Hannah Grimes. They're talking about a lot of breweries being developed out there, microbreweries and restaurants. And so I think that when people think about entrepreneurship and entrepreneurism, many of them have, you know, large software companies. I'm going to be the next, you know, Amazon. I'm going to be the next Google. But that's really not the case, is it? I mean, I suspect that you see a lot of smaller businesses and a lot of entrepreneurship just among average individuals, right?
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, Andrea, you can speak to it also coming from SBDC. You know, smaller businesses really are the backbone of New Hampshire's economy, and to be able to support them in any way that we can is so important. But like you said, the New Hampshire Business Incubator Network is a thriving network. There are so many amazing nonprofit incubators. There are some private incubators as well. But those nonprofits, like you mentioned, Hannah Grimes Center out in Keene, the Alpha Loft, which has locations in Manchester and Durham and Portsmouth. There's the Enterprise Center in Plymouth, the Mount Washington Tech Village in Conway, the Den Innovation Center and the Dartmouth Regional Tech Center up in Hanover and Lebanon. Just a phenomenal set of resources there. I was working with the New Hampshire Business Incubator Network earlier this week, and we were talking about the numbers of events that they host. In 2016, just in that small network of incubators, they hosted over 350 events, whether it was educational seminars and workshops or networking events to bring entrepreneurs together. And from there, they're estimating well over 4,000 people walk through the doors of their incubators. They really are another source of, you know, frontline resources and workers, in addition to the amazing advisors that we see through the Small Business Development Center and through SCORE and, you know, the Division of Economic Development too. But such a tremendous resource, and we're really, really fortunate to have such a great distribution of them geographically, because if you look at the map, they're nicely spread out. Mm-hmm. You really don't have to drive too far to be able to tap into some of those amazing resources.
And they, one of the things that we've noted, and we've actually covered a little bit on the show, are all of the really terrific business plan contests and other contests that are out there, which certainly there's a financial benefit to it, but really maturing new entrepreneurs to deal with the financial community, to present their message in a clear and concise manner, to be able to articulate their value, even to the point we've had some of the winners of some of the high school programs on the show. Is your organization at all involved in any of those programs?
You know, we do more on the in-kind support. So we help with the promotion and just raising awareness of, you know, the application deadlines, promoting the event, so the actual live competition and trying to drum up support and attendance for those events. Unfortunately, I don't have any financial resources to contribute, but what we can do is really talk about them. We highlight them on our website through the Seek Funding page. You'll see competitive.
Why don't you give us that website right now?
Sure. It's livefreeandstart.com. And then you'll find all those resources on the Seek Funding page there. So like you said, there are a lot of them out there, and there's a pretty significant cash prize available to some of them. But others, you know, we've got the Manchester Young Professional Startup Challenge that's coming up. They just announced the application period's open. We've got TechOut that's been running successfully for 5 years in partnership with the High Tech Council and Alpha Loft. There's the Seacoast Startup Challenge that also works with the Alpha Loft. The Flatley Challenge just announced their winners a couple weeks ago, and what they gave was not only cash prize but also space to be able to incubate the winners of that competition. And that's just a tremendous support. You know, think about the finances that the financial resources that they don't then have to apply to being able to keep themselves going for the next year. And, you know, in addition to that, they also connect folks to mentors and advisors, to other investors that may be interested in the companies. You know, legal resources and accounting firms are also donating a ton of volunteer hours to be able to support these companies. So it's a really great way to bring the community together and to show that the ecosystem is very supportive. And we may be a small state, but we're a very connected state. And I think we pride ourselves on being helpful and to be there. And that it's easy for us to be able to pick up the phone and make a quick connection or call somebody else. If you contact me and I don't know the answer, I'm more than happy to reach out to Andrea or to anybody within my network and say, you know what, Mark, I've got this question. Can you help me answer it? Will the Alpha Loft be able to help this person or not? If not, then who? And that's just the way it works here. So it's a really great community to work in.
Sounds like partnership makes for a great network in New Hampshire. And actually, I've seen you at different events, and the network is so strong. that I'm not even sure who you're there for. You know, but as part of Live Free and Start, that's mandates your presence.
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned that a lot of this is volunteer driven. If you know, we happen to have here in Bedford, we have a lot of people who are, let's say they've done quite well and have a lot of experience. And there are a lot of those people who are in the mode to give back to the community. If someone wants to solicit, how would they contact you if they want to volunteer and participate in any of these programs?
You know, what I would say is go onto the website. Again, it's liveforandstart.com. There's ways to be able to connect directly with me via email. And you can just send me a quick email. Let me know what you might be interested in, where what your interest might be, whether it's providing mentorship, learning about different events that you could attend to be able to connect directly with entrepreneurs, or just to be able to kind of stay in touch with what's happening here in the ecosystem. And then, of course, you know, one of the things we can probably talk a little bit more about, but through Live Free and Start's work around capital access issues, trying to engage more angel investors or impact investors in opportunities that they can support the people and businesses here in New Hampshire through their, you know, investment choices.
So the website, Live Free and Start, is one way that an entrepreneur can access all of this good information and network. Can you talk a little bit about when that resource came to be, maybe how it came to be? And
sure, be happy to. So Live Free and Start was launched in June of 2014. And, you know, I like to say our big goal is to work to make New Hampshire an even better place for innovation-based companies to start, to grow, and to ultimately be successful. You know, it's just been a really amazing initiative to be a part of. I am the one and only staff person, but I have the pleasure of working with a 15-member volunteer advisory council. And that council is made up of business leaders and entrepreneurs from across the state. And I, you know, they are my ambassadors, but they are also they are there to provide me with support, but also ideas and recommendations on how we, the state, can do a better job of supporting the innovation economy here in New Hampshire. And, you know, in addition to their efforts, in the last 2.5 years, I think we've been supported by thousands of volunteer hours. And when I say thousands, I don't feel as though I'm exaggerating. Yeah. Between the number of companies that have provided stories, we've highlighted over 85 innovators of the weeks. We've got success stories written up. We've got so many different people that are contributing to our blog series and our video blog series. So just so many people have been incredibly helpful and just providing support, resources, and mentorship to our entrepreneurs.
I get your emails, and when there's a video blog, what's the abbreviated term?
Vlog. Yes.
When there's a vlog, it is so exciting because they're wonderfully produced and full of information and just the right length. And that is such a useful way to reach out to the community. So yeah. I applaud you. I didn't know you were just one person. You and your team do a quotes team do a great job. I thought you had a full blown organization behind you.
You know, I wish one day maybe we'll be able to grow it a little bit bigger. But right now, I'm still a staff of one.
Wow, that's great. You'd never know.
And your initiative comes out of funding, a little bit of funding from the state. Is that how we put you together, or where? How do we have the opportunity to have someone like you in place?
You know, the Business Finance Authority has actually really stepped up and provides the support for the initiative. So, you know, my salary, of course, but they've also are providing some support for, you know, our marketing budget. Mm-hmm. It's a small marketing budget, but we do mm-hmm. get some additional support there. There is a small grant that came through from the Division of Economic Development, but otherwise there's no state general funds that are provided to support Live Free and Start. The BFA is a quasi-state agency, so we don't get direct support anymore. All the income from the BFA just comes back through its own operations.
Well, we sometimes have the Bedford state reps on the show here. So if we need to do some arm twisting, just let us know. And once we have them in the studio, we can put them on the spot. And
you know what? It's always great to have support from wherever we can find it. And, sure. You know, it's great to have our legislators know what we're trying to do, because this is a nonpartisan issue.
Yes,
we are trying very hard just to support our business community and promote New Hampshire as a great place to do business. A lot of people just aren't aware of the resources that are available, and we want to help make it easier for them to find. You know, we've tackled some great legislative initiatives over the last couple years, and every single one of those bills, we've had Democrats and Republicans on all of them, and I'm really proud of that. One of the biggest things that we did 2 years ago was a complete overhaul of New Hampshire Securities Act, and that was quite a process. But, you know, we worked with the top members, the three top staff members at the Securities Bureau in Concord, and we had six private bar attorneys dedicating, like I said, hundreds of hours just on that bill alone between the six of them. And we were able to get that accomplished and get through. And that's just making it easier for New Hampshire businesses that want to raise capital here to do so. Unfortunately, New Hampshire had a really bad reputation before we were able to tackle that the bill or the statute was just really tricky to work with. But we were able to update it, and it was fantastic. Another piece that we worked on was doing an overhaul of the business name registration process with the Secretary of State's office. And, you know, that for many years was, you know, really tricky to work with, and it was more of a subjective process. What we did was work with, again, Democrats and Republicans to say, we need to make this better. We need to make it easier for businesses to start here. And this is one of the first ways that they interact with the state when they go in to register their name. And let's just do a better job. So we worked with, again, the legislature, and were able to update the standard to a standard that's used in close to 40 other states. So it's a good one to work with. That was huge.
And actually making that something you can do online makes it so much easier as someone who has registered several businesses up in Concord. And I know that the second floor office there, the Secretary of State office, quite well. Yeah. And putting it online and making it so much easier, so much quicker. Congratulations. That's, again, easy to do business with, friendly to do business with, your first exposure. It makes a lot of sense.
It really does. It sends a really strong message that the state wants to support you in every way that we can. And right up front, we want to make it easy, friendly, and, you know, customer friendly. Yeah. Businesses are our customers, after all, at the state level.
So I was wondering, can you tell us, what is your, step back a second, what is your mission statement? And is there like a strategy that, are you guys following a multi-year strategy plan in terms of where you're going and where you're putting your focus on? Or is that not the nature of this organization?
So, like I was saying, the real mission of our work is to work to make New Hampshire in general a better place for innovation-based or technology-based companies to be able to start to grow and to be successful. We look at four different areas of focus. We've got our legislative work, our marketing piece, access to capital issues, and general ecosystem collaboration. Those are the areas that we work in. We've got subcommittees through our advisory council that look at each of those areas. And that's where we focus our attention. When I first requested that my advisory council members join this initiative, I told them that we weren't going to sit down and create a report that was going to sit on a shelf. So you will not see an annual report that comes out of Live Free and Star. What you will see, though, are our accomplishments and what we're trying to do. We want to provide good information, good resources, up-to-date information, and just keep it exciting and new and be responsive to the community. So with our legislative things, we sat down, we listened to, you know, we talked to attorneys and CPAs and legislators and business community members and said, what are your pain points? What's a problem for you? How can we make things better? So we really sat down, you know, right at the start. Also, Governor Hassan, after we launched the initiative 2.5 years ago, she hosted a series of roundtables, and it was a matter of listening first, understanding, and then trying to figure out how we could have an impact. We don't want to duplicate efforts. I always tell people when they call me, I am not a business advisor or a counselor. You need to go and talk to the resources at the incubators or at SBDC or at SCORE. What I will do is I will refer you and I will connect you, but I will not duplicate those efforts. So we tried really hard to find that right niche for where we could have an important role and to be as helpful as possible. So like even with our marketing approach and what we're trying to do there, you know, we launched obviously the website to be able to have a presence and our social media presence to, you know, stay up with our audience and be able to reach them the way they want to capture information. The resources that we're providing, you know, we focused on access to capital. So you'll see on our website a full page dedicated to seeking funding. And, you know, right up from the start, we try to educate folks, make sure they're connecting with the right people that they need to before they go out and ask for the funding, but also then just be able to have those resources available to them in one location. That's you don't find that on any other website. So that was really important for us. We've got the first statewide events calendar that we've ever had. You know, we've posted, I think at last count, somewhere over 650 events in the last year and a half, which is great. It's just one place that you can go to be able to find that information. We post events from all the incubators, from the High Tech Council, from various meetup groups that support technologists. So we host some makerspace events up on our website. So again, it's not every event in the state, but we're trying very hard to be able to be accommodating and helpful to entrepreneurs and small businesses and investors that are interested in connecting with us.
Yeah, I send a lot of clients, or I at least provide them the link to your website, because it is not totally encompassing, but a good one-stop shop to know what's entrepreneurial and happening in the state. You're listening to WBNH 105.1 FM, and our guest today is the Director of Entrepreneurship and the lead contact and, I would say, developer behind Live Free and Start Initiative, which, if you haven't already gone to their website, it's a must do.
And she's someone who gets consensus of the entire staff whenever she needs to, with very little problem.
Liz, you mentioned, and I should say her name, Liz Gray.
Yes.
That's Liz, you've mentioned a couple things. One of them, Innovator of the Week. Is that an initiative that you could tell us more about?
Sure. That's one of my favorite things that I get to do. So every week we post a story. It's called our Innovator Series. And it's a great way for Live Free and Start and for the state to be able to celebrate and acknowledge some of these great companies, great young companies that are starting and growing here in New Hampshire. And, you know, it starts out with, give us your 30-second pitch. Each innovator answers the exact same questions, but, you know, give us your 30-second pitch. What are some of the great resources that you've tapped into, whether it's SBDC or the incubators or whoever it might be? What's some great advice that you've received? What's a challenge that you faced and how did you overcome it? And then what's the future of the company look like and how can we connect with you? So it's a short little story, but, you know, you get to see their face and the profile. You get to see their logo and some company photos and to be able to make those easy connections and learn about some of the really exciting technology and innovations that are starting right here in New Hampshire and to be proud of what's happening here. You can find it on the Live Free and Start website under the Be Inspired section. And we purposely put it there because we want to inspire the next entrepreneurs. We want them to read these stories and see how these people started their companies, grew their companies, some of the challenges that they faced. Be realistic, but be, you know, optimistic as well, and show them that you too can do this. Just make sure that you're, you know, doing your homework and checking in with the great resources. In addition to that, we've got our success story series. So you'll see some of the larger, more established tech companies on the website, and it's a longer profile. They're also under the Be Inspired section because we ask those more successful companies and CEOs to be able to share advice with the next entrepreneur. You know, how did you do it? What advice would you give them? Or if you were starting all over again, tell us, how would you do it?
So to become an innovator of the week, does the individual have to be nominated?
You know, we like to have nominations. I'm always looking for new companies to be able to highlight. So if you've got some great companies, send me an email and we can see what we can do about getting that story up. But we find a lot of them through some of the accelerator programs. So AlphaLoft just announced their Accelerate NH cohort. They're hosting 9 companies. And through that, you'll be seeing all of their stories. So I'm really excited to be able to partner with the AlphaLoft that way. And then, you know, the all the other incubators will often nominate great companies to highlight.
That's wonderful.
One of the areas that you mentioned in your initiatives has to do with access to capital. What is access to capital like these days in New Hampshire? I mean, I actually have had the opportunity to raise some venture capital for several companies in the past, but I got to tell you, it all came from Silicon Valley and from Massachusetts. We never really spoke to anybody up in New Hampshire when we were doing this. I'm guessing that that has changed in 10 years since I last did something like this. What is the capital, I guess, landscape like here in New Hampshire these days?
You know, I think it is changing a lot. There's more of an awareness and an interest about angel investing or impact investing also, and some exciting opportunities to just engage people in a conversation. And that's really where we are. We at Live Free and Start know that a successful startup ecosystem and strong business climate require many things, but having that access to capital is one of those, one of the most critical components. And although Live Free and Start is not an investor or a source of investment at this time, we're working to stimulate and catalyze those activities that will lead to investment, helping those entrepreneurs connect with those resources. And like I was mentioning earlier, the Seek Funding page, you can find all of those resources, whether it's, you know, the startup competitions, links to our angel groups, our VC groups, the regional development corps, and the amazing programs that they provide locally here in New Hampshire. But what some of the other things that we're trying to do to be able to engage people in the conversation, we hosted the first angel investing conference that New Hampshire had seen in over a decade. We did that in November of 2015. We had over 170 people register, which was very, very exciting. And, you know, our goal was, again, to restart that conversation with a lot of folks, to bring people together, to connect them, whether they were current investors or prospective investors, and just say, hey, now is the time. Look at this booming and exciting ecosystem that we have here with all of these the incubators and their growth. And let's get engaged and let's get involved now. And then let's see where we can take New Hampshire going forward.
You mentioned the term impact. Investing. I'm not sure I or the audience knows exactly what impact investing is.
I'm hesitant to give you the exact definition, but it's, you know, the way we like to talk and to talk about it is just how you as an investor can diversify your portfolio and think differently about how you're going to be investing your funds and trying to have that impact.
So I shouldn't be putting it all into Bitcoins.
I'm not going to advise you personally, but
or Andrea knows that my favorite business these days are drones.
Yes. But just how you can have an impact here in New Hampshire.
Sure.
So Live Free and Start partnered with the Community Loan Fund and the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation last year, and we hosted 6 Investing in New Hampshire forums. And that, again, was focused on impact investing, how
Terrific.
You can use your money and your resources locally and still get a return on investment. Don't just automatically think about the traditional means of investment, but think, if you have the means and you've got the resources, think differently and how, again, if you want to support the businesses here in New Hampshire, you can do that. And, you know, we had, probably well over, you know, 300 people attend these events. They were smaller events, but we did them regionally, and it was a great opportunity just to keep that conversation going. After that, you know, we also started a women investor group, which is very exciting too.
Yeah.
And it's a small working group, but we hosted our first Women Angels event last September in Portsmouth. We had somewhere around 25 or so women that were interested in learning more about angel investing and, again, expanding their investment portfolio, thinking differently. We're hosting our second event on March 29th here in Manchester. So that's...
Let's make sure we do a PSA for you on that, because that's a very exciting idea.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we started thinking more about women angels just in conversations because, one of Andrea's colleagues, Hollis McGuire, was the initial founder of Northeast Angels. And she says, you know, she would go to meetings and be one of the only women, if not the only woman at the table. And we need to change that dynamic in so many ways, but especially when it comes to investing, because we want to make sure that all entrepreneurs have that additional perspective from the potential woman investor, but also we don't want anyone to miss any opportunities. So,
well, we also want to welcome that money into the network.
Most definitely.
Right?
Most definitely. Yep.
Actually, another area.
I have a question before we move off of that. Yep. when you hold these meetings for investors, is it typical to see out-of-state investors come to these events? Is it just New Hampshire investors?
You know, we are definitely focused on reaching out to New Hampshire folks.
I'm just wondering if there's a spillover because, you know, I get a lot of information about what goes down in the Boston area.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they are looking at what we're doing.
Oh, I hope they are. They should be.
They should be. I just didn't know if you saw any out-of-state.
When I'm thinking about the registration that we requested, the registration information requested for the Angel Conference in 2015, we didn't ask for addresses. We wanted to make it a really simple process, comfortable process. So we don't know how many folks came from out of New Hampshire. I know one of the Angel groups, North Country Angels, they're actually located, they work out of Vermont.
Yep.
But they look at deals and companies in New Hampshire. So that's why we talk to them and we promote them on our website because we know they're very interested in, in New Hampshire companies as well. So
a little poaching, I'm thinking, going across the line.
I mean, just go to Whitewater Junction and just easily reach across the line. And
New Hampshire,
reel them in.
I think it was announced last week that New Hampshire was number two in places to live. And I'm guessing.
I think Bedford is probably leading that way, actually, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry,
New
Amherst
Hampshire.
Person.
New Hampshire.
Sorry, Amherst resident.
And Massachusetts, I think, was number one.
Yeah.
So within a very, and we're not that far. So it's a good, this is Manchester, really all of New Hampshire, but Manchester is just I feel like it's a blossoming city.
Yeah,
and
One of the other areas that we have touched on in the show before, and I guess it's something you're also familiar with, is social venturing. And we've had a couple of the companies on. I think ValChoice was, is that the gentleman? Dan Carney won an award actually with it. And this really represents a new type of corporate structure coming forward where there's not only the fiduciary responsibility return to get a return to your investors, but there's a social component to what's happening. And I think this really speaks to a level of maturity of the business community and the investor community up here in New Hampshire. I wonder if you're seeing this as a trend that's continuing.
You know, Dan was actually one of our innovators of the week a few months ago. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's a trend, but I think you're right. There is definitely a broader awareness of how entrepreneurs can give back. You've probably talked to the folks at the Charitable Foundation through the Entrepreneurs Forum of New Hampshire, and what they're starting and what they're trying to do is bring entrepreneurs together and say, hey, we'd like to see you stay here, grow here, and then when you are ready, please give back through the Charitable Foundation so we can support other social ventures and have that impact in New Hampshire. So it is really exciting to see folks coming together and thinking more broadly about how, again, they can use their resources. You know, UNH put together the Social Venture and Innovation Challenge. Not sure how many they've had so far, but it was just last November or December. And that's a really great opportunity, too, again, for those more socially minded businesses to be able to compete, to pitch, to make people aware of what they're trying to do, whether it's growing a business or if it is a nonprofit and how they're trying to have an impact. There are some really great companies, like you said.
By the way, for our listeners who want to learn more about this, we've actually had the chair of the Charitable Foundation, and his name eludes me at this moment.
Matt Pearson.
Matt Pearson on and was a really excellent show. And we've had Dr. Fiona Wilson from UNH on talking about some of the social venturing. So if you are listening and want to learn more about this, please just go to our page and look up those particular speakers, and I think you'll enjoy listening to those podcasts. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to catch that before.
In the business world today, you'd be hard pressed to run a successful company if you didn't have some kind of social, not contract, but certainly pay attention to your social impact on your employees, and whether that's equal wages for equal job or.
Well, yeah, and we just had the owner of the Keene Sentinel on talking about fair pay for women in the state and the role and what's happening with some women entrepreneurs. And, you know, unfortunately, the little bit harder road they have to walk to get fair treatment here. But, you know, again,
we just celebrated, we're in the middle of Women's Month.
Right.
And this week was, I think, Happy Women's Day. My son texted me and said, "Hey, Happy Women's Day." And
So
I went to work.
Well, this is good. So this is, it again, I just, I'm very encouraged as somebody who moved here to New Hampshire in 1980. I've really seen a change. And I just keep using the word, there's a maturing of what's happening. There's a greater sophistication. And I think even some of the legislative initiatives that you mentioned before, making it easier for people to register companies, to raise money. You know, when you have a friendly environment like that, it's a big magnet. It pulls businesses and it pulls investors and it pulls talent into the state. And that's what we're all about, right? We're looking to train people and keep them here. Right?
I think technology has a lot to do with that. And I know New Hampshire's had its issues with broadband, but you know, for all over the state, being able to access good technology, access to the internet, and that's so important for commerce. But technology's really changed the whole business landscape, and thank goodness it has.
Yeah, and in fact, you may not be aware, but Andrea is doing a follow-up study to a very large study that was done in the top three counties of the state, looking at what are the aside benefits, what are the requirements that they need to succeed with businesses, and broadband was one of the needs up in Coas County and some of the more rural parts of the state. And now she's doing a follow-up in terms of how are businesses prepared to deal with stressful, disastrous situations. And so there's, again, original pioneering primary research being done in the state, looking at issues that affect a lot of other states because they have a similar geography, but they haven't done the work. So again, I think we're leading the way in a lot of interesting topics here.
It's an exciting time. I think we'll see some more really great changes being made and some more exciting things in 2017. So
you came out with a degree in environmental conservation. Are you?
I'm shocked at that.
I know.
Did you? I read that and I thought, I wonder if she sits back at the end of a hard day and says, "How did I ever? What did you envision yourself doing when you pursued that degree?"
Yeah, if you had asked me while I was still at UNH, I had grand master plans of going to work for the EPA, but that didn't quite work out.
For the EPA at one point in time.
Look at that.
I did. It's a completely different. When I worked there, it was their technical assistance wasn't really a thing yet, or if it was, it was small, and it was mostly enforcement and permitting and things like that. And it might still be that, but I know that the people that I commonly speak to are very much in the programmatic assistance and devising programs to help industry-specific sectors, which is not so far off from what you're doing.
Yeah, even when I was at UNH, I knew that I wasn't going to be doing a lot of the science work. Those were not the classes that I was really strong in. So on the policy side of things, that's really where I enjoyed it. And although I'm not doing specifically, environmental policy work, that's my background. That's what I love to do. And I love being able to have an impact and to be able to affect change. And that's what gets me up every morning. It's really exciting to think about all the different projects that I've been able to work on and how fortunate I was to have had so many amazing opportunities working at the State House with several different administrations. And now, too, to be able to say, look at what we've created through Live Free and Start, and look how we're talking about the state and promoting our businesses and helping them to be more successful. And, that's really what gets me excited every day to be able to work on this initiative.
At some point in time, you should have an adult beverage with Andrew's colleague, Rich Grogan, who has his PhD in that particular topic out
Rich.
Of Antioch.
I know Rich. He's wonderful.
He is. Yeah. He really is a terrific guy. We've had him on the show as well.
We're lucky to have him. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit more about the Impact New Hampshire Fund without, diving too much into specifics? I know, can you tell us a little bit about the background or where it stands right now and what we can expect?
Sure. You'll definitely be seeing a whole lot more in the next couple of weeks about the very new Impact New Hampshire Fund. There hasn't been a formal announcement yet, but I'm excited to. Well, although it's not,
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Nope, it's okay. We've got some information that we can share.
So
we could definitely share some information.
So it's just the
new Impact New Hampshire Fund. It's not directly affiliated with Live Free and Start, but I'm proud to say that at our Women Angels event in Portsmouth, two of the founding or managing directors of the new fund were sitting next to each other at the event. That was Hollis McGuire and Pamela Diamantis. And they said, you know what? We should really create this new fund. We should set up a new structure here in New Hampshire to open up new opportunities to bring more women to the table and encourage them to look at angel investing. And that's exactly what they did. So Hollis and Pamela started working and then brought in Margaret Donnelly. Margaret and Hollis are both members of the Live Free and Start Advisory Council. So I've been able to get a lot of updates over the last few weeks and months. And it's amazing how quickly they were able to put this together and just the brain power of them alone, but also bringing in outside resources to be able to set up the more formal legal structure. So you'll be seeing more from them. But if you do want more specific information, you can always go to the brand new website, which is impactnhfund.org. Again, it's impactnhfund.org. And what the fund is, and it's going to, they say, it's an angel investment fund that will create and promote positive impacts on New Hampshire's economy by engaging female investors and educating them and helping them to understand, again, this opportunity of angel investing and how they can give back to the community. And also, you know, fueling female entrepreneurs and being able to provide a new source of funding for primarily female entrepreneurs and increasing the amount of capital that's going to be invested in women-led businesses. So it's just a really exciting new opportunity that'll be coming out to be able to fund earlier stage, primarily women-led businesses. So I don't want to speak too much about it, but they're a great opportunity. And again, you can learn more and see some more of the fund structure and the details of the fund on the website. And we had talked about a little bit earlier, the Women Angels event on March 29th, if anybody's interested in attending.
Where will that be?
It's going to be in Manchester.
Mm-hmm. Your wife should attend that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great.
So, I'll recommend it to her. By the way, you're listening to WBNH 105.1 Business IQ Radio with Dawn Byrne and Andrea O'Brien. And our guest today is Liz Gray, who is the Director of Entrepreneurship and leads the Live Free and Start Initiative.
I wanted to tell you that this week I got an email from Kiva, which is a crowdfunding platform for small business funding. And they had a match day where if you lent money on Kiva to a woman-owned business, the funds would be matched in many cases. And so I took the opportunity to do that. And it was not a big investment. And I'm not going to get any return on my investment, but it felt really good to help another woman achieve her goals.
Yeah, sure.
And so I sent that out on my Facebook page, and I got a couple of responses that people have been doing, you know, involved in Kiva. It's just a great movement, and I recommend checking that out.
Well, as we were saying, this is just an example of the maturing of the ecosystem here. Many, many different areas. But that's why we really appreciate, Liz, what you do, because if you're new to this, it's hard to navigate and know where to go, what resources are appropriate. And so I think we really value and appreciate what you do. And even pointing them then to people like Andrea, I'm interested, your title is entrepreneurship, but entrepreneurship isn't the first couple of weeks of a company. I'm sure that you deal with companies that have been around for a year or two or more even. Nurturing people throughout that whole process. That's when you're so vulnerable in the very beginning, the first couple of years of a company. It's really, really an important situation to go through and be able to support them like that.
It's great. And like you said, I do talk to people in a lot of different industries. And, you know, even though we are, Live Free and Start is more tech focused, I get a lot of calls through, you know, our startup, or I should say emails through our startup concierge email connection on our website and through other channels just to reach out. And I'm happy to pass them on because, like you said, entrepreneurship, yes, you start your company and you're in the trenches, but there are a lot of different ways to be able to just check into the resources. And if I'm the first person that they reach out to, that's fantastic. Happy to talk to them. Happy to understand where they are. Find out who they've already talked to and make sure that they're connecting with the right resources going forward.
Can you describe, when you said it's tech-focused, you know, I immediately go to, oh, it's software. But what defines...
As opposed to biotech or some of the other...
Right. You know. I mean, right. And I know that there's going to be some biotech development in Manchester, but I was wondering what kind of, you know, tech companies, you know, do you typically see coming through?
You know, I say tech more loosely, and I try to go with, I often say innovation-based companies, because there are a lot of companies doing things, taking an innovative approach. So tech, like you said, sometimes it makes you think only one thing or another, and we should think more broadly. Okay. But the reason Live Free and Start is more focused on those innovation-based companies is that, you know, when we look at the statistics, you know, 44,000 or so people are employed in the tech sector here in New Hampshire, and it contributes nearly $3 billion to the state's GDP in salaries alone. And the types of jobs that are created in that sector are very strong jobs. They're solid jobs with great wages, great benefits, great potential for growth within the company. And those are the types of companies and jobs that we want to support and to help sustain here in New Hampshire. You know, we have a very vibrant tourism sector as well, and it's fantastic that we have that base. However, you know, some of those jobs are a little bit more transient, and, you know, you have to work several of those jobs in that industry, whereas, you know, we're trying harder to support the tech ecosystem and make sure that, you know, we have the next Dyn, we have the next Autodesk, we have the next Scribe and Retrieve and those companies. We want to see more of those companies growing. And if we aren't supporting those earlier stage startups and small businesses, they're not going to be able to grow and to be successful. So we, the state, need to do our part to help them and to cultivate that next generation of those companies.
Mm-hmm. And what we have seen historically is that if you have a cluster of technology companies, they actually breed more, because what happens is the people who go through those experiences, if it's their first startup or their second startup, then they're encouraged to go and do their own startup, and it just blossoms. It just it really becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of growing this infrastructure.
Definitely, you know? And just the sharing of ideas and the brainstorming, and that, you know, we are a small community, and, you know, that's why it's fantastic to be able to even, you know, attend some of the events at the incubators or work out of that space, because you are sharing ideas, you're brainstorming, you're connecting with those mentors and advisors and other folks that, who knows where that idea, just sharing it, where that might lead to.
So. We're coming towards the end of the show, and so I want to put you on the spot here and ask you a little bit about who's the most unusual company that you've seen cross your desk or come up? Do you have anyone? And you may not. You may
without
one,
dropping
may not
any
come
names,
to mind.
But you can.
Yeah, but you can tell sort of what they were doing. I mean, somebody wanted to build a robot to, you know, shave mustaches or something. I don't know.
You know what? I don't think I've had any really unusual ones. I think there are a lot of unique ideas, and it's exciting to hear the passion and behind the, you know, the company, the founder's idea, and why they want to grow that company, and how they're tapping into, you know, their support network and, you know, a co-founder or a developer to help them get that idea off the ground. And it's, you know, some of them are, I wonder, is this really going to be that next big company? But they're so passionate and excited, and they really want to solve that, whatever that challenge is. And I hope that they can do that. But I don't think there are any that I wouldn't say are great, 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 great founders. Lots of great people doing exciting things. So
fair enough.
It's fun to listen to the High Tech Council holds a meeting where the select companies are asked to skydive, you know, do a 2 or 3 minute pitch. And those companies are these little budding companies. They are very passionate and fun to watch. Can anybody go? Oh, do you have to be a member to go to the High Tech Council meetings? You know, the ones they hold at
first? Yeah, the
first.
Entrepreneurs Forum.
The Entrepreneurs Forum.
I don't think you have to be a member of the High Tech Council. No, yeah. I think members of the public can join in. It's a great event.
Those are fun.
Well, as you look out into your crystal ball over the next 1, 3, or 5 years, what do you see happening both for Live Free and Start, as well as for business and entrepreneurism in the state. Any want to make any predictions? We won't hold you to them. We will record it, however.
Well, I think for Live Free and Start, you know, we're going to try to be as responsive and helpful as we can to our audience. You know, we put out a survey late last year just to ask, what do you need? What do you want? What's interesting? And I was really excited, Andrew, you mentioned you like seeing those vlogs come through on our post. And we are trying to be that responsive. And, you know, not everybody likes to sit down and read 1,000 words of a blog. So sometimes it's easier just to get a quick snippet of a video blog and mm-hmm. hear some great advice from our angel investors or whatever, you know, whatever the topic is that day. So we're going to try to do that. This year, we also launched a focus on putting out some blogs that are on they're focused on marketing and legal issues, because, again, that's not something that we've talked a lot about in the past. But we heard from our audience that that's something that is of interest to them. So you'll see some more of that. We'll continue trying to just be a strong ecosystem partner, bring together the players and make sure that we are supporting them, whether it's posting their events and promoting them or just, you know, directing folks to the great resources that are available. That's how we want to continue to play that role. And if we can continue helping to lead policy conversations around how we, the state, can do a better job and make a difference, and that's where we would like to be.
So. Yeah, I know the state actually does a very good job of also encouraging international business, and we have a wonderful resource in the Department of Commerce over in the Portsmouth area that will, they're of tremendous help. In previous lifetimes, we've taken advantage of them to hook us up with legitimate, competent, trustworthy business partners in other parts of the world, which is not oftentimes the easiest thing to find. And so, you know, there are all of these other resources, and I'm thinking of you as sort of the gatekeeper here, saying, I can direct you, you know, point you to where you need to go. And so I always like to mention that that resource, because it really is valuable, and the people are so friendly, and they'll sit down with you.
Are you referring to the IR International?
I am.
So they, are, I think they moved to Concord. They are now embedded in Thread.
It feels how long ago since I was.
There's within the Division of Economic Development, there's the Office of International Commerce. So there's a team that's state, but there are also separate Department of Commerce staff that are federal employees.
Right.
But they work so closely together, and they really are an outstanding team, powerhouse of resources.
Yeah, very, very good.
I think Dawn Wivel is in. She used to head it up in Portsmouth.
She did. Tina Chasm is the program manager.
That's right.
Yep, she's great.
Yeah. Good. Well, can you tell us one more time how people, if they wanted to get a hold of you, would do that? And is there an email that they can write to? Do they write to info@?
Yeah. You know, if you just go on to livefreeandstart.com, you can find all of the information there. There's a way to send me an email. There's just connect@livefreeandstart, and it'll get right to my inbox. But we'd love to have everybody start following us on our social channels. So we're on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn. Lots of great resources there, but also join our newsletter. And we send out a monthly newsletter, and a lot of that is just kind of talking about some of the upcoming events and things. We put out a weekly events email just to say, hey, look at all the great events that are happening throughout New Hampshire. And every week, you know, we've got around, you know, a dozen or so events that are happening, and we just want to make sure that you're aware of them. So it goes out Monday morning at 7 a.m., and it'll give you the resources for the next week into the following Monday, just so you can pop it onto your calendar in case you missed it. So please do follow us on our newsletters, and we'd love to keep you informed on what's coming up next.
And if people want to participate in any of the angel investment groups, there's qualifications, but they can learn more about that. And so that's another area they can come to your website to learn about, yeah. Especially women.
If you go onto the Seek Funding page, you can connect with each of the individual angel groups that are here in New Hampshire. But then on the women angel side, yes, we've got our March 29th event. And if folks are interested in attending that, I'm happy to talk to them. So please do send me an email and we can chat more about the details of the events.
That's great. Well, it's been delightful having you on here. It was very informative.
Thank you very much.
You did a great, great job.
Yeah, I've been wanting to talk with you for a long time, and finally we got you on.
Andrea wrote to me and said, I've got her. It's going to be a great show. And you were absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm going to turn the show over to Andrea, who always closes our show, and actually got quite a nice compliment today by somebody who was quoting quoting her her little closing here, but she has our standard closing.
It's our trademark.
So let me turn it over to you, Andrea.
Okay, well, I want to thank you too, Liz, for making the time to speak with us today. So remember, listening audience, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.